Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. Objectivist perspective on rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now on AM 560, The Answer.
So, should the United States of America ban Muslim immigrants? That's what Donald Trump wants. What do you guys think? What does Chicago think? Ban Muslims from coming into this country because we're under attack from Muslims. The terrorists in San Bernardino were Muslims. The terrorists in Paris were Muslims. The terrorists in 9/11 were Muslims. God forbid we should actually say that. George Bush didn't want to say it. Well, President Obama certainly doesn't want to say it. Nobody actually wants to say it. But here comes Donald Trump and says, not only are all these terrorists Muslims, but what we need to do is ban the possibility of the entry into the United States. What do you guys think? This is the Yaron Brook Show. And, what's up? Should we ban Islamic terrorists? Should we ban Islamic immigrants or travelers or anybody who wants to come and visit here? I live in Orange County, California. And every summer we get a bunch of Muslims coming from the Middle East, and they come to the malls here and they shop and they hang out. You can see them because the women are all wearing those burqas. You know, they're covered from head to toe, and they go into some of the most expensive stores because they have oil money to spend. And should they not be allowed to come because of the terror situation in the U.S. and in Europe? What should we do with the Muslims already here? I mean, I haven't heard Donald Trump suggest that we deport them, but who knows? Maybe that's coming. So what do you guys think? Give me a call, 312-642-5600. 312-642-5600. What should we do with the whole issue of terrorism? Now, you're going to hear a lot about what I think we should do, and I'm curious to hear what you guys think. But this is my view. We're in a war. We're in a war that was declared on us, and the enemy is engaged with us for many, many years. We're at war with a group of Muslims who are fanatical. They're jihadists. They believe in jihad. They believe jihad, meaning in this context, a religious war, a war against the West to try to conquer us, to try to impose their legal system on us, to try and impose Sharia law on all of us. It's a war we refuse to acknowledge. It's a war where we refuse to name the enemy. And we keep suffering as a consequence. I would say this war with these jihadis or Islamic totalitarians or Islamists, this war started, I would argue, on November 4th, 1979, a long, long time ago. And on that day, the American embassy was taken hostage by Shiite Islamists in Iran, by Ayatollah Khomeini's people. And what did we do as a response? Nothing. We did nothing. You know, at some point, Jimmy Carter sent some special forces in to try to save them. That mission landed up crashing in the desert. Nothing happened. And in the end, we negotiated their release once Ronald Reagan got into the office. But they were never penalized. This is an act of war, people. When your embassy is taken hostage, that is an act of war. And since then, they've been killing Americans. Whether it's in Beirut, where they killed 244 Marines in their barracks, whether it's in the Kobo Towers, whether it's Americans who are being kidnapped over the decades and killed. You know, we've been at war with them. Leading up to 9/11, there was Al-Qaeda. There was blowing up our embassies in Kenya and Tanzania. Hundreds of people died. Over 100 people died. Whether it was the bombing of our ships in the Persian Gulf, or whether it was 9/11. Now, after 9/11, you would think we knew that we were at war. They came on our shore and killed 3,000 Americans. They came on our shore and killed 3,000 Americans. Jihadis. And yet, President Bush declared Islam a religion of peace and a war on terrorism. Not a specific terrorist. Not specific terrorists with a specific ideology. God forbid he should say that they were Muslims. No, no, no. Islam is a religion of peace. We can't associate these terrorists with Muslims. And you know the rest. We engaged in a war against a secular dictator who had nothing to do with 9/11. Instead of going after the people who did, because we were afraid to name the people who did. Al-Qaeda. But who funds Al-Qaeda? Who supports Al-Qaeda? Who gives them weapons and ammunition and money? And who preaches the ideology of Al-Qaeda? Who spreads the Al-Qaeda's word out there? We'll get to who does all that. But, you know, most foreign policy people will tell you they're our best friends, not our enemy. So we engaged in a war against the wrong guy. Some secular dictator wasn't doing anything to us. I mean, he was an evil guy. I don't moan his demise one bit, but you know what I do bemoan is the death of 5,000 American kids who died, who were supposed to be there to protect us, to protect their families, to protect America, and died for what? For what? For what? For nothing. For nothing. Since then, we've had Fort Hood. We've had numerous jihadis in America killing Americans. And nobody will name them. Nobody will identify them. Nobody will actually say who the enemy is. So now Donald Trump is coming along and saying, look, we know who the enemy is. The enemy are all Muslims, and therefore we should ban all Muslims from traveling to the United States. Is he right? Is that the way? Is that the way in which to deal with this issue? Is that the way in which to deal with this issue? Call in 312-642-5600. Let me know what you think. Should we ban Muslim immigration? Is that the way to deal with 9/11? Is that the way to deal with San Bernardino? Is that the way to deal with the potential future San Bernardinos? All right, we got Mark. Mark actually calling in from Florida. I didn't know anybody in Florida listened to the show. Hey, Mike. Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Yeah.
Mark, you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Mark?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay.
Okay, great. Yeah, I've listened to it here online, and I tell you what, I'm getting discouraged. I'm getting a little aggravated. I'm a vet, and I see what's going on around me, and it's scaring me. I mean, I don't want us to go to war in our own country. I mean, I've been there, done that. No, it's not fun. But every night when my wife goes to work, she works out in the public, and I'm wondering who's going to go in there and shoot her, and why can't we stop it? Why can't our government admit that they've got a problem and deal with it? We've got a person in the White House that just does not care. And
so
we've got another.
So what would you do? I mean, would you actually limit Muslims' ability to travel to the United States?
In a heartbeat. I'd stop them in a heartbeat, because if we don't, we're going to be overflowing like Europe, and we're going to have more problems. And I'm not saying that we should take radical extremes right now, but I think Donald Trump is right. Stop them now before.
And what else would you
hand.
Do? Is that enough to stop this? Because there are a lot of them already here, and they can come across the Canadian border. The Canadian border is wide open.
That's true. It is. And that's where our government has let us down. They did not secure our borders. They did not stop this problem before it got out of hand. In fact, I think they wanted it to happen. Really
so you
do.
Think we
I
should
think...
build a wall on the Canadian border as well as on the Mexican border and wall ourselves in?
No, I don't think we should build a wall to wall ourselves in, but I think we should patrol our borders a little bit better than we have been, and I think Canada should step up and help us patrol the borders and turn this tide before it gets out of hand. It is
Great.
Going to get out of hand. I've seen it. I know what it's going to do. I've been there, done that, and it's not going to be pretty.
No, I agree with you. It's not going to be pretty. I really appreciate it, Mark. I really appreciate your call. So Mark supports the idea of, limiting immigration, limiting people's ability to enter into the United States, limiting it based on the religion based on the ideas that they hold, limiting entry into the U.S., giving the government the power to control who comes in and out of the United States without declaring war, without identifying the enemy carefully and clearly, and without going and destroying him at his own home base, just preventing their ability to travel into this country. What do you guys think? 312-642-5600. We're going to after this break, we're going to be taking a break in just a few seconds. We're going to be taking a call from Nick, who wants to take exception to my assessment of U.S. Iranian policy. I think I know what he's going to say, but I'm looking forward to talking to Nick. And we're going to talk about what should American policy be. I, for one, think we should go on the offensive and not build walls. Talk to you right after this break.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Grace Hackett, taking a look at traffic. Some big issues on Veterans Memorial Tollway. The entrance ramp from Maple is closed down due to a rollover crash. Let's take a look at the other expressways. Inbound on the Edens, it's slow between Niles Center Road and Montrose. From Lake Cook to Montrose, 39 minutes. On the outbound side of the Edens, a small delay between Montrose and Peterson. Inbound on the Kennedy, it's slow between River Road Toll Plaza and Montrose, and between Montrose and Division. From O'Hare Inn, 44 minutes. From Montrose, 17. On the outbound side of the Kennedy, a small slow nag between Pulaski Road and Montrose. From downtown to Montrose, 11 minutes to the airport, 31, express lanes 8. Inbound on the Eisenhower, there's a small delay between I-88 and Harlem and between Western and the Circle. From Thorndale Inn, 51 minutes, from Mannheim, 35. And now for a look at weather, it's 55 degrees and cloudy. Tonight's low is 53. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know that no one is a bigger sucker for young love than me.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
Which is why I thought DJ Glinowitz and his father's mistress were going to make it. And they didn't.
Lieutenant Glinowitz, he was going to have his son marry his mistress.
It really takes it to a new, unimaginable level, doesn't it?
I laugh so that I don't cry. This is a bad soap opera skit.
The Glinowitzes, the Sopranos plus Honey Boo Boo.
Start your day with Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
America was built by people with a few dollars and a dream. And while many don't know it, there's one path to success that still only requires a dream and about $10. That's right. If your dream is to start or grow your business, something as simple as the right business card can make all the difference. And today, at Vistaprint.com, you can get 500 full-color business cards for only $9.99. That's right, 500 business cards for just $9.99. What's more, you can choose between hundreds of designs or upload your own and customize them easily. And because they're from Vistaprint.com, the cards are of top quality and your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. So visit Vistaprint.com today and get 500 shots at turning your dream into reality. Hurry, because this offer won't last long. To get your 500 business cards for just $9.99, go to Vistaprint.com and use promo code 2323 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 2323.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Okay, welcome back. We're talking about should the U.S. government ban Muslims from entering this country? And I gave a little quick history of kind of the conflict between the United States and radical Islam. And I placed the beginning of that conflict on November 4th, 1979, when the United States Embassy was taken in an act of war against the United States. And I believe that since then, Shiites and Sunni radicals have been killing Americans all over the world, and we have done nothing. This culminated, of course, in 9/11. And since 9/11, it's continued. And the latest occurrence was in San Bernardino. And what has the United States government done? Nothing. The question is, though, is the right thing to do to ban Muslim immigration, or is there an alternative? But before we do that, Nick is on the line, and Nick wants to challenge my historical interpretation of U.S. Iranian policy. Go ahead, Nick. I think I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Yeah, Yaron, I think your foreign policy analysis is very simplistic. You know, our history in Iran, modern history in Iran, actually started in 1952, when our CIA, under Alan Dulles, promoted a CIA coup and put the Shah of Iran in place, who put a very brutal dictatorship in place and deposed a democratically elected government there. So that was the festering wound that ultimately led to what happened in 1979 when the radicals took over the U.S. Embassy.
So we have been
meddling in the Middle East since World War I. The modern borders of Iraq, Iran, Syria were all created by the imperial powers of Britain, France, and the U.S. after World War I.
Okay, let's take this one at a time. First, the coup in Iran was 1953, just to get the dates right. But the coup in Iran was sponsored by the British with the cooperation of the CIA, but it was primarily a British endeavor. And the reason for the coup, and I'm putting aside whether it's just justifiable or not, but the reason for the coup was that a prime minister had been elected democratically in Iran, who was going to nationalize the oil companies, the British and American oil companies, primarily British, a few American companies were there. They were going to nationalize in spite of all the treaties the Iranian government had signed, in spite of all the agreements that they had had. They were going to nationalize the assets of this company, which I consider theft.
Right.
Let me finish, Nick. I let you talk. You got to let me finish, right? I'll finish and I'll let you respond, I promise. They were going to nationalize the assets. They were going to steal the assets of this company and align themselves with the Soviet Union during the Cold War. As a response to this, justifiable or not, the United States helped the British depose the democratically elected government of Iran and ultimately replaced it with a Shah. A Shah, by the way, who went on to dramatically modernize Iran, raise the standard of living in that country dramatically. And yes, he was a brutal dictator. He was a bad guy. I'm not supporting, but let's not forget all the good things that he did, because I've got an analogy here that I want to present to you as a comparison. In 1972, I think it was, the CIA helped depose another democratically elected socialist leader of a country, Allende in Chile, and helped put in his place Pinochet, who was, again, a brutal dictator who completely modernized the Chilean economy.
Who murdered 3,000 people.
Yeah, I agree. 2,000, bad, bad guy. And my point is that you don't see Chile taking over the U.S. Embassy. You don't see Chilean suicide bombers blowing themselves up in America. You don't see Chileans flying airplanes into American buildings. So it is not American involvement in these countries which leads to violence. It is their ideology, it is their religion, it is their beliefs, and it is the fact that America stands in conflict with it. There are lots of ways in which they could resolve, and they could they could have resolved the dispute with America. By the way, for example, going back to democracy, not going to a theocracy and declaring war in the United States. Luckily for Chile, luckily for us, Chile never did that. And Iran did. Iran declared war on the U.S. It needs to suffer the consequences for that. Now, with regard to World War I and the drawing of borders, there were no borders before World War I. Before World War I, it was an Ottoman Empire. There had never been borders in that part of the world. And it was the Ottoman Empire, by the way, that declared war on the side of Germany against Britain and France. And I don't believe the United States should have ever gotten into World War One. That was the stupidest decision any American president maybe has ever made.
I agree with you there.
But the fact is that the Ottoman Empire declared war on France and Germany. France and Germany, in defending themselves, had to fight the Ottoman Empire, beat it. As a consequence of beating it, occupied all this land. Now they're stuck with it. What are they going to do? Reform the Ottoman Empire? That would have been disastrous because the Ottoman Empire was ruled by Turks. Turks ruling Arabs, that was not sustainable. So what they did was they tried to divvy it up based on historical borders, approximately. There's a traditional historical Syria. There's an historical Lebanon. There's an historical Iraq. And they drew random borders, absolutely. But what option did they have? Everybody claims that this is a problem. What option did they have?
You're on.
The fact is...
The point that I'm trying to make, Val, is the reason that Muslims are radicalized is to a great degree because of our foreign policy. These people in San Bernardino were radicalized because we're murdering women and children with drones from Hellfire missiles. Yeah, maybe we're killing some terrorists, some supposed terrorists, but we're also killing women and children as collateral damage.
If that were true, we would have Japanese terrorists today attacking the United States because we killed a lot more women and children during World War II than we have in the Middle East. We would have German terrorists all over us because that has nothing to do with it. The fact is, and I agree with you, it's foreign policy. In my view, it's the weakness of American foreign policy. It's the fact that in spite of the fact that we have being attacked, that we are at war, we refuse to actually fight the battle, we refuse to acknowledge who the enemy really is, and refuse to actually attack the enemy where they are, that is what's leading to the radicalization. But the radicalization at its core is a consequence of the fact that they hold ideas. They hold ideas that are completely anti-ethical to the West. And they hold those ideas. They held those ideas well before the West ever appeared in the Middle East. They have been the Islam as a religion has been fighting the West for since its founding. Remember, they were at the gates of Vienna not because anybody attacked them, but because they were invading Europe. This is an ideology that is aggressive, that is trying to take over the world in order to impose a Sharia law. Now, there is a sense in which we're responsible for this. And that is the sense is that we won't model anything better. Nick, thank you for calling. Really appreciate it. I know we disagree, but hopefully you'll continue listening to the show. And I always, always embrace people who disagree with my views. And Nick's views I hear all the time because it's a typical libertarian view. And it's a view that whenever I talk about foreign policy, a big chunk of the audience comes after me on this issue. I believe so this is a sense in which our foreign policy is responsible. It's the weakness, and it's the fact that we will not stand up for Western values. We will not judge. We believe in our multiculturalism. All cultures are the same. It is time for us to say that the principles of the West are superior to the principles that are being taught in the Middle East, that the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is the correct formulation for all human beings in terms of political liberty and political freedom, that freedom and liberty are good, and that what they have in Saudi Arabia is evil, that dictatorship is evil, that theocracy is evil, that there is such a thing as good culture and bad culture. And we need to be willing to teach that. We need to be willing to articulate that. And we need to be willing to tell people, if you want our success, if you want our prosperity, here are the principles. Individualism. Respect the individual politically above all. Reason. Our only means of cognition. It's the way in which you learn about the world. Adopt reason. Respect reason. Reason and individualism are the paths to success economically, culturally, civilizationally. You're listening to the Iran Brooks Show. We'll be right back after this break with more on Muslim immigration.
Republican candidates for president will debate just one more time before the end of 2015. And the only place to hear that debate on the radio in Chicago is right here on AM 560. Catch the CNN Republican debate Tuesday, December 15th, live from Las Vegas.
That is not my policy.
Pre-debate coverage begins with Joe Walsh at 5, followed by the first round debate at 5:30 p.m. exclusively on your election headquarters in Chicago.
Man, his anger.
AM 560, The Answer.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Jane Metzler. President Obama speaking now on the global agreement approved today in Paris to combat climate change. Let's listen in.
I want to commend President Hollande and Secretary General Baum for their leadership and for hosting such a successful summit, and French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius for presiding with patience and resolve. And I want to give a special thanks to Secretary John Kerry, my senior advisor, Brian Deese, our chief negotiator, Todd Stern, and everyone on their teams for their outstanding work and for making America proud.
That's President Obama at the White House this hour. The agreement imposes no sanctions on nations that fail to live up to it and must be approved by 55 countries before it becomes official. This is a Fox News alert.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Grace Hacka, taking a look at traffic. A couple closures out there right now. One on the northbound side of Veterans Memorial Tollway. The entrance ramp from Maple is closed down due to a rollover crash. Also on I-57 northbound, the exit ramp is blocked to westbound 80. That's for cleanup of an earlier rollover crash as well. Let's take a look at the expressways. Inbound on the Edens, it's slow between Gulf Road and Montrose. From Lake Cook to Montrose, 33 minutes. On the outbound side of the Edens, a small snag between Montrose and Elston. Inbound on the Kennedy, it's slow between River O'Toole Plaza and Montrose, and there's a small buildup between Montrose and Division. From O'Hare Inn, 44 minutes. From Montrose, 17. On the outbound side of the Kennedy, slow between Pulaski Road and Montrose. From downtown to Montrose, 11 minutes. To the airport, 31. Express lanes, 8. And now for a look at weather. It's currently 55 degrees and cloudy. Tonight's low is 53. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com. The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI Campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's literary classics, specific aspects of thought, and how to apply her ideas to your life. Get started today at campus.aynrand.org. See you on campus.
Ayn Rand was a radical thinker whose philosophical novels challenged students to reconsider their views on fundamental issues. The Fountainhead, Atlas Shrugged, and Anthem. These works have become classics of American literature that never fail to engage young people and stimulate intense classroom discussion. By offering these works for free to teachers, the Ayn Rand Institute hopes to encourage greater awareness and understanding of Rand's stimulating perspective. If you're a teacher who would like Ayn Rand's books in your classroom, visit AynRand.org. This is at no cost to you. Go to AynRand.org today.
Attention market watchers, until recently the market hadn't seen back-to-back days of 500-point losses since November of 2008. What if you had no market exposure? What if you didn't have to worry about the markets? How would you sleep? Leave the volatility behind. Hi, this is Jack Tabota. Our proprietary income strategies provide reliable, inflation-protected income, guaranteed for life, with no market exposure. Call me at 630-777-7955. That's 630-777-7955. You've worked hard to build your wealth. I work hard to protect it. 630-777-7955.
Insurance products may be presented and guarantees are based on the claims paying ability of the insurance company represented. Securities offered through Pro Equities, Inc., a registered broker-dealer and member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Harvest Investment Services, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Tabota & Associates and Harvest Investment Services, LLC, are independent of Pro Equities, Inc.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
So before we go back to the topic of the day, I just have to comment on kind of the top of the news item. You know, I was in Chicago this last week, and it was, the weather was just gorgeous. It was warm. It was beautiful. And I was thinking, you know, maybe this global warming stuff is not that bad, right? I mean, maybe because of global warming, Chicago will finally become habitable. Because I don't know how you guys live in Chicago, given the kind of winters you typically have. And now that it's kind of 50 degrees in the middle of December, maybe this global warming thing is a good thing. And then they sign a deal in Paris, and they're going to destroy my whole dream of a warm Chicago. I mean, I'm crushed. I'm disappointed. Another time, we'll take on the whole global warming Paris fiasco. And we'll talk about that. But today we're talking about terrorism. We're talking about Trump's idea of banning Islam. Now, let me say, here's a sense in which the West, you know, Nick earlier said it's all the West's fault. But here's the sense in which I think it is the West's fault. When wealthy Muslims in the late 19th century, early 20th century, wanted their kids to get the best education in the world, where did they send them? They sent them to the West. They sent them to Paris and to Berlin and to London. And what did those kids come back with? They came back with two horrible ideas. Not the ideas I mentioned earlier as the core of Western civilization, reason and individualism. No, they came back to the Middle East with the opposite of that, with collectivism in the form of socialism and mysticism in the form of fascism. So they came back to the Middle East with fascism and socialism. And all of the regimes established in the Middle East after World War I were socialist and fascist. And therefore, as we know from everywhere fascism and socialism is tried, complete and utter failures. As a consequence, the Middle East is part of some of the poorest countries in the world. The only successful, wealthy country in the Middle East that's done it not by confiscating the West's oil is Israel. Every other country has dabbled extensively in socialism and fascism and gone nowhere in authoritarianism. And this, unfortunately, they partially learned from the West. Instead of teaching what made us successful, instead of being proud of what made us successful, we told them, no, embrace your culture. And that's what we tell them today. When Muslims come here, we tell them, embrace your culture. Keep your culture. Embrace your beliefs. Don't challenge them. We're not a melting pot anymore. We want every culture to thrive in this country. We believe in multiculturalism. Well, yeah, if every culture thrives, you get the worst elements of every culture, not the best. The whole idea of a melting pot is to embrace the best into an American culture that is superior, that is better. That's why they immigrated here. But we don't say that anymore. We're wimps, and as a consequence, you can be anything you want in America. No, you're supposed to be an American, which means belief in certain values, individualism being the primary. This is what the country was founded on. This is what makes America, America. It's not the geography. It's the idea that shaped this country, that the individual is sacred. So what do we do about the terrorism? Well, in my view, it's very simple. Step one, you have to identify the enemy. The enemy is jihadism, Islamism, Islamic totalitarianism. I don't care what you call it. It's Islam taken to a logical conclusion. It's the radical Islam. One, you have to name it. Step two, you make a list of every country and every organization that adheres to this ideology. And what countries adhere to this ideology? Well, Iran. We talked about Iran earlier. And guess what the second country is? The country from which most of the 9/11 terrorists came from. The country that is responsible for radicalizing more terrorists than any other country. The country that funds the madrasas in Pakistan, that funds the radical mosques in the United States, that funds almost all mosques in Europe, at least the Sunni ones, in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia, the country we pretend is our friend. Saudi Arabia, whose prince George Bush hugs at his ranch a month after 9/11. Saudi Arabia funded Al-Qaeda. Saudi Arabia funded ISIS. The only difference between the ideology of Saudi Arabia and ISIS is whether they believe it's time for a caliphate now or later, whether they want to impose Sharia law on the rest of the world now or later, and whether the Saud family should be kings or not. But, you know, they chop off hands in Saudi Arabia. They cut off people's heads in Saudi Arabia. They stone women for adultery in Saudi Arabia. They have harems in Saudi Arabia. There's no difference between ISIS and the Saudis in any fundamental, essential terms. The Saudis just happen to be really, really rich and have cut a deal with the United States to stay in power. But the fact that we let them, that we support them, that we embrace them, that we think they're our friends, shows how weak we are. It shows how we're not serious about any kind of war. That we won't identify the enemy, we won't recognize who the enemy really is. So it doesn't surprise me that the enemy is radicalized and there are more and more of them. You're listening to the Iran Brook Show. We'll be right back to talk about what to do about the Saudis.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Grace Hacka taking a look at traffic. Be on the lookout for a major accident. There's a report of a rollover semi crash on the ramp from I-57 northbound to westbound 80. Let's take a look at the other expressways. Inbound on the Edens, it's slow between Niles Center Road and Montrose. From Lake Coke to Montrose, 30 minutes. On the outbound side of the Edens, a small delay between Montrose and Cicero. Inbound Kennedy, it's slow between River O'Toole Plaza and Cumberland and between Nagel and Montrose. From O'Hare Inn, 51 minutes. From Montrose, 29. On the outbound side of the Kennedy, a small snag between Costner and Montrose. From downtown to Montrose, 11 minutes. To the airport, 29. Express lanes, 8. Inbound Eisenhower, there's a delay between Wolf Road and Harlem and between Ashland and the Circle. From Thorndale Inn, 48 minutes. From Mannheim, 33. And now for a look at weather. It's currently 55 degrees and cloudy. Tonight's low is 53. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AYNRAND.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter nasal congestion. Is it A, cold, B, sinus pressure, C, allergies?
I'm not sure.
For all of the above, the answer is D, Allegra D, a maximum strength decongestant plus a powerful non-drowsy antihistamine for 24 hours of relief.
Feel better?
Yep. Feel like racing?
Hey, wait.
This winter, the answer is Allegra D. Look for Allegra D at the pharmacy counter. Use as directed.
You are someone who doesn't compromise, and you're never willing to settle. So why are you wearing glasses with just any progressive lenses? See the difference with Varilux, the number one progressive lens brand, and enjoy sharp vision and smooth transitions at any distance. Varilux is the only progressive lens brand with lenses designed using wave technology. Ask your eye care professional about Varilux and never compromise your vision.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
I'm getting complaints from my producer that he actually likes snow. I mean, nothing I can do about that. Well, if you like snow, then yeah, we got to stop this. We got to stop this global warming stuff, right? Obama's helping you guys out, supposedly. All right, we'll get to that. What a mess that is. What a ridiculous treaty they signed in Paris. And the fact is, the people who are going to suffer the most from what they signed in Paris are whatever poor countries there are in the world who are not going to cheat. Because you know most of them are going to cheat. And the ones who don't cheat are the ones who are going to be sacrificed for the sake of this silly treaty. All right. So, what you do? Name the enemy. Number one is name the enemy. Radical Islam, Islamists, jihadis, however you want to call them. There are two countries that support all terrorism in the world, basically. And that who provided with a fund, the moral, spiritual inspiration. They give them the weapons. They give them everything. That's Saudi Arabia and Iran. All right, after 9/11, what do you do? Well, let me just step one back. It's not just countries now. There are also all these terrorist organizations. By the way, all of them supported by these two countries. You've got Hamas, you've got Hezbollah, you've got Al-Qaeda, you've got ISIS, you've got Islamic Jihad, you've even got the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, and many, many others, right? So what do? You make a list, and now you say we declare war on these guys. And Congress should pass a declaration of war. Congress should pass a declaration of war, and then you go out there and you destroy them. You do what you do to enemies. So, you know, you might be able to just threaten the Saudis and say, hey, if you don't stop behaving, if you stop funding terrorism, we'll destroy you, get rid of the Wahhabis. That's the whole, you know, the priesthood basically in Saudi Arabia, responsible for the mosques, responsible for their ideology. So, threaten them, maybe that'll help. I'm not against threats. There's no reason to go to war if you can get the same result without going to war. I doubt it though. But then if they don't do it, you gotta crush them. You gotta teach them a lesson. You gotta make them fear us to such an extent that they won't kill Americans because they'll know what the consequence is. But right now there is no consequence. Right now the Saudis can continue funding mosques and continue funding schools all over the world that teach that killing Americans is a virtue, that you get 72 virgins, that it's part of jihad, that it's a great, great virtue. It's what it means to be moral as a Muslim. And as long as they teach that, a certain percentage of the people, not all of them, but a certain percentage, maybe even a very small percentage of the people, will adopt those ideas. Will adopt those ideas. And then what? And then they'll go out and kill some Americans. And then what do? We do nothing. And this keeps going. And you know what? Yeah. It doesn't affect that many people. Not that many people die. But this is preventable. This is evil manifesting on streets, and we do nothing about it. And I'm not talking about restricting freedoms of Americans. I don't think the NSA needs to listen to all of our phones. But you know what? The likelihood of a Muslim being a terrorist is much higher than me being a terrorist. So listen to their phones if you're going to listen to anybody's phones. We should be profiling. Now, what about immigration? Now, I believe that once you declare war, the great advantage of that, or one of the great advantages of that, is you also declare what victory looks like. And if during that war you want to limit or restrict or eliminate Muslim immigration into the country, fine. I'm fine with that. I believe it would be a short war anyway, so it wouldn't be a huge detriment to this country or to the immigrants. Just like during World War II, we didn't allow Germans in, particularly not Germans who were Nazis. We didn't allow Japanese in. So when you're at war, it's completely legitimate to restrict immigration from those places and that ideology which you're at war with. But other than that, it is crazy, in my view, for the government to adopt ideological screens other than when you're at war. Because what screen is the government going to adopt today? I mean, if they restrict Muslims, what about restricting capitalists? capitalist increase inequality. And rich people should not be allowed to come into the country, because Bernie Sanders says that rich people are really, really bad for this country because they increase inequality. What other ideological screens do you want? You agree with multiculturalism or not? One of the reasons we have a separation of church and state in our Constitution is the idea that the government should be separate from ideas. The government should not be engaged in ideas. The government should be engaged in the protection, the physical protection of our lives and property. When our lives and property are at risk, it's the government's responsibility to identify the enemy. That's the only time they engage in ideas. They've got to identify the enemy and who are the allies. Who's going to be friends of ours and who are the enemies of ours. They need to destroy the enemy and ally with our friends. But once the government gets into the business of ideas, then we lose all freedom. It's just like once the government gets into religion, we become a theocracy. In one way or another, that's the direction in which we drift towards. Government needs to stay out of the realm of ideas, except in identifying our physical enemies, the enemies who actually threaten America, who actually threaten the lives and property of Americans. And once identified, those enemies should be destroyed. They shouldn't be pandered to. And I don't believe in going and building democracy in the Middle East and being the policeman of the world. No. I believe in self-defense. If somebody attacks you, you make it impossible for them to ever attack you again. You make it so painful for them that they will never do it again. What do you guys think? We got a quick break and then a short segment. If you want to call in, it's 312-642-5600. This is the Yaron Brooks Show. Catch you right after the break.
When The Fountainhead was first published more than 70 years ago, Ayn Rand's bold literary vision and groundbreaking philosophy of individualism captured the world's attention. Initially rejected by 12 publishers as too intellectual, the novel became an instant classic and continues to provoke heated debates. What motivates a creative thinker? Is it a selfless desire to benefit mankind, a hunger for fame, fortune, and accolades, the need to prove superiority, or is it a self-sufficient drive to pursue a creative vision independent of others' needs or opinions? Ayn Rand addresses these questions through her portrayal of Howard Roark, an innovative architect who, as she puts, struggles for the integrity of his creative work against every form of social opposition. It's also the story of his love affair with a woman who seeks to defeat him. The Fountainhead is as relevant today as it was when Rand first penned it. The novel was also a personal landmark for Rand. In Howard Roark, she presented for the first time the uniquely Ayn Rand hero, man as he could be and ought to be. Order your copy today at Amazon.com.
Raj Shah from Secure Retirement Radio talks about one of the main concerns you have about your investments.
So I want to know what else is out there. I want to make sure that I have taken advantage of every strategy that's available that would make sense for my portfolio. May or may not make sense, but if it does, I want to be aware of it. So Raj, can you tell me more about that?
To find out more ways to protect and move your money forward, tune in to Secure Retirement Radio with Raj Shah. Sundays at 7 a.m. here on AM 560, The Answer.
Once a storm has passed, it doesn't mean the danger has. Steve Wald, his two boys, and their friend saw firsthand how a storm can bring down power lines.
Here's an area where we're just three blocks from our home, and we're exposed to a potentially lethal hazard.
If you see a downed line, stay away. Tell others to stay away, and call 911 and the utility immediately. Learn more and see their story at safeelectricity.org.
Sponsored by the Energy Education Council.
Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
So I disagree with Donald Trump. Stopping Muslim immigration or travel into the United States is not the solution. Building walls is a sign of defeat. Every country in history that has tried to win their war by building a wall, by looking internally, by going on the defense, has lost. You can't win on defense. Offense is the only way to win. You want to go out. You want to bring the war to your enemy. You want to destroy them where they live. You want to make it impossible for them to support and to radicalize and to do what they're doing today. The only way to stop San Bernardinos, the only way to stop 9/11s, is to destroy their capacity to launch war, their capacity to radicalize their populations. And the only thing that makes it possible for them to radicalize their population today is our sanction. It's our support. It's the fact that we have gloves off. It's the fact that we won't name the enemy. We're so cowardly that we won't even name the enemy. You got to name the enemy. You got to go to war. During the war, you can restrict immigration, and then you end it afterwards. And you do not get government into the business of ideological screening. You do not get government into the business of religious screening. You go to war against a specific enemy. You restrict that enemy from entering into the United States because you're at war, and you end it. But this is the problem, because we have no foreign policy, because we have no leadership, because the so-called responsible people within the Republican Party do nothing, say nothing, present nothing. What you get is the populism of Donald Trump. In the face of not declaring war, in the face of nobody even wanting to declare who the enemy is, certainly not talk about the destruction of the organizations and the countries responsible for this terrorism. In the face of that, what you have left is the populism of Donald Trump. Easy, shallow, silly, short-term solutions that are not solutions, that'll make the problem worse, that further show the world how weak we are, intellectually weak. Because militarily, guys, nobody can stand up to the United States. Nobody can stand up to the United States if anybody wanted a fight and we were willing to actually engage in that fight. The reason we lose wars is not for lack of courage of our soldiers. It's not for lack of equipment. It's not for lack of superior weapons. It's not for lack of wealth to back it all up. The reason we lose wars is because we don't have the stomach for it. And what that means is we don't have the moral fortitude for it. We don't believe in ourselves. We have no self-esteem. We constantly apologize. We drop food packages with bombs. That was Bush, not Obama. We tell everybody that they're our equal. We're no better. Then how can we fight a war if we're no better? But the fact is that we are better. The ideas of freedom, the ideas of liberty, the ideas of individual rights, the idea of reason, bring everything before reason, as Jefferson said. Those ideas are superior to anything written in the Quran or in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Those ideas that shaped the founding of this country, those ideas are what allow for human flourishing, for human success, for wealth, for prosperity. Those are the ideas we should be advocating. Those are the ideas I will be advocating on this show. You're listening to the Ron Brooks Show. Talk to you next Saturday at 4 p.m. Chicago time.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute campus is an exciting online destination offering free e-courses on Ayn Rand and her revolutionary philosophy of objectivism. Whether you recently picked up your first Rand book or have been reading her novels and nonfiction for years, ARI campus has something for you. On campus, you'll discover a variety of multimedia courses covering Rand's